Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this super special episode, we welcome in Andrew Grist. Andrew is one of a new wave of potent marriage transforming heroes that have come through and are still a part of the Heroic Husbands Men's Circle movement. Andrew joined his men's circle about 4 months ago and has been going from strength to strength with his queen and in parenting with his two children. Andrew is coming to us today, living in Maryland, USA. Andrew Grisman, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. The honor is mine.
Andrew, it's been a number of months, man, since I've had the beautiful experience of getting to know you and, you know, that first call, the discovery call, and then you took the leap of faith and you said, screw it, this Heroic Husbands Men's Circle seems like something that you were interested in jumping into. Before we jump into the experience of that and, you know, the transformation and your the benefits that you're feeling from that experience, could you bring myself and the guys listening in back to, you know, the Andrew that was before the group, that was before listening to the podcast first time, and starting to do deep men's inner work? You know, tell us the story of that Andrew who, like every man listening in and like myself before my marriage transformation, you know, had great intentions, but the intentions just weren't all coming off, or, you know, you weren't getting the fullest results that you were deeply desiring in your marriage. Can you take us back to that Andrew and, you know, let us into his inner world, what was showing up in his inner world and inner world challenges, and, you know, by extension, what was showing up or not showing up in your marriage that drove you essentially to reach out and find some support in the world to turn this around?
All right. Taking me back. So me and my queen have been married since 2008. We're coming up on 16 years, and that we are high school sweethearts. I've known her since middle school, but started dating in 12th grade. And then we've been in a relationship for a long time, many different cycles of life and development. And it wasn't until we had kids that we were just coasting, just seeing how things went, never really putting much thought on a long term. And when I say long term, not necessarily being together, but what this looks like, what does our future look like? How do we handle situations? How do we respect each other? What are our boundaries that we don't cross? It was just a coast. And when I had kids, is when I started to recognize, well, our lack of structure, as you would say, in relating to each other is going to affect more people than just us. The fights, you know, obviously, as they can be damaging, you know, through our experiences of either shutting down and numbing, which was me, and not really being in tune with how to speak on feelings or needs, or, you know, we were doing good enough. We were getting by, we were showing affection and we had love towards each other. We were creating experiences and going out. And obviously when we were married, we had already been in a relationship for 6-7 years. So the honeymoon phase wasn't a thing, but when we had kids, and they started, you know, growing, I just noticed it just wasn't right. It wasn't what I wanted. And the smallest bit of ownership, mostly blaming her for how she wasn't showing up. And that gave me some sort of edge. Like, look, it just created space from what I needed to do. Because in my head, I thought I was showing up in different ways because I was hitting personal goals. But when it came to me and my wife communicating, and then parenting. And then you dive into more responsibility that you need to really be a team on. That was just a lot of blame and a lot of shame, and me feeling that whole cycle of getting into something coming up with me and my wife, maybe some resentment over the years building up, blame, and then going into my family life, and then that cycle of guilt of like, oh shit, what do I do now? And I think a lot of that anxiety and guilt comes from not having the tools or the answers or not knowing what to do next. And then the blame would kick back in. And then I would do some reading. I would go online and, you know, use the tool of the phone or the internet outside of social media, which, or sports or something. I started getting in tune with, you know, tools and things that I could do on my own. But they didn't really sink in. So I was gaining the knowledge. I was putting it in my head, but these cycles just kept going. And then the peaks and valleys were hitting stronger. The time between, you know, coming to my wife and getting to that point where we can move forward were becoming longer and longer. But then we weren't even getting to that point. It was just like, all right, I'm tired of just not talking. I need to be with you. And it would all just come back up because we weren't getting there with our conversations. And after that cycle for that period of time, and then realizing my shame, and then trying to understand where my shame came from, all of that resulting in constant back and forths of blame, shame, guilt, come back together next week. Blame, shame, guilt, come back together. And then at some point I was like, all right, I need a coach. I need help. But then again, there's just so many coaches and so much information out there. I was paralyzed. I was like, do I go here? Is it more my fathering? Is it more my husband? Is it more just me? Who the fuck am I? And all that led me to a podcast that you were on, and one of your, you know, free consultations. And that first one, you put me in check and clearly cut through my bullshit of, okay, that's all valid, that may be happening, but that's just a whole lot of fucking blame. And then from that point on of going into that first heroic husband circles and being late, there was some entitlement there, and that kind of shifted. And then there was a group of men throughout, just to back up, not to jump too many places, through that time of those cycles and wanting to be better, having a conscious, you know, making a conscious effort to wanting to knowing what I want, just not knowing how to get there. I was finding myself very isolated. A lot of friends that I had, you know, they're still friends, but I felt like I was isolating because I was on a different trajectory, and it felt very lonely. And that was also bringing up a lot of tension for me and my wife, because now I was leaning on her even more. Like, it was just me, her, and the kids. And I was like, man, it would be nice to find a group of men who I didn't feel like I was always going deep with or wanting to do better, because they just want to keep it light and airy. And I do have a few that I can, and I'm super grateful for them. Really, they're my brothers. I love them. But there's a very select few. And then coming into this circle, as I said, finding a group of men with a similar goal and understanding and providing that space has been powerful. So that's just that shift of, you know, the goal to action with other people and a guide. That's to sum it up.
I can definitely resonate when you talk about the loneliness. I remember it was years ago at this point, but when I started reading, I was reading Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now, New Words, and it was like sort of it was a shift from psychological books. I was reading psychology. I have less of a distinction between them now, but it was psychology and then spiritual books. And I was like finding it was like exhilarating, but I had this inner world, what I can now talk as you say, is like loneliness. I would even put the word retrospectively looking back. It was like a desperation just to have somebody. I remember projecting that onto like my best friend from college, sort of like, oh, would you read that book? And it was like purely like it was actually like a really disrespectful thing I was trying to do, but it was coming from that isolation of, man, like, you know, I know you. Could you just get some frame of reference so I can at least talk with you? So I can really resonate with that as a man, Andrew.
You made a good point though, that projecting, like I was getting all of this information, and if somebody was just needed to get some shit out or talk to me, I would go into like that fix it mode, right? And it's like, oh, I've been reading all of this. And I think a lot of I would project on my wife too, like this is what I'm reading, let's get on the same boat. And if you and then in my back of my head, it was like judging her, well, if you don't, then we're just going to stay in this shitty place, and that's on you.
My queen, early days when we were together, as I say, I was reading Eckhart Tolle and all that shit, and I honestly was fucking camped out thinking I was the Dalai Lama. I really thought it was like, you know, my effectively I now know it's like my old vocabulary. Yeah, I had a new vocabulary, but it was the same fucking unconscious asshole, you know, like
Right.
out front. But I remember, like, and I used to, it's sort of she sort of found it charming in the first few months because as I was reading all this stuff and it's like it sounded wise. So I think it initially was like, yeah, it's sort of maybe semi cool that he's into this type of shit. But then she started like one of the most provocative things she used to, and it just fucking irritated me, Andrew, like so much, so much. She's like, oh, here he comes, the fucking prophet himself. I remember going, oh man, it's like you fucking bitch. It was like my mind, and hey, verbally it came out, and in times it was like, I'm just trying my best. At least I'm the one that's, you know, reading up of this stuff. At least I'm making an effort. And it just was this part of her feminine core could smell the bullshit a mile away. It's like I was talking the talk, but I was no more. I was talking presence. And I've been like 13 of the last 13 years figuring out what presence actually is. It was like, yeah, I had a mental concept of it and I liked talking it, but she could see and smell through the bullshit. Andrew, take us into you mentioned earlier on like the shutting down and the numbing, that's like that was your old pattern, protective pathways that would come through you, that when you get into conflict with your queen, that you'd shut down and start numbing. For the benefit of guys listening in, you know, on a practical basis, what does that look like from the outside? Or how does it feel in the inside? You know, describe that process of shutting down and numbing. I'm just over communicating with you. It's when guys can hear another man vicariously talk about what's live in his nervous system in a moment of conflict, every guy goes through his version of it. But it can really support guys go, wow, yeah, fuck me. That's the exact, it's to give words to what the vast majority of guys have no words given to. It's that inner process. Can you take us in there? What shutting down and going numb when you're experiencing heart closure, what that looks like and feels like to you?
That was a defense mechanism or a protective pathway that I formed at a very young age without getting into the therapeutic side of that. When it's just how I coped. It's how I actually, when I was a teenager, middle school, I started dabbling and going to a different friends group that I didn't. It was like less had to take re less responsibility. It was more mischievous. We were just getting into trouble, and I just remember, like, from early on, just not wanting to, not really trusting my voice of how I can communicate. So it was just always easier for me to be quiet, just easier for me to internalize and shame or blame or just go there with myself or just totally numb. I would, you know, addiction really kind of crept up there because I found when I was sober and I was quiet, I would just get really, those thoughts would just be loud and loud and loud. And I could smoke or drink or, you know, as the years progressed, it got stronger and more frequent. But the numbing would stem from, this is uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. I don't have the words for it. So I'm going to do nothing. And then I don't have to be judged. I don't have to explain more. I don't have any follow-up questions. I don't have to dig in deep. I'm just going to not do anything because I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. How are they going to see me? Does that make sense? Am I understood? And I have to be understood. Or later in life, it was just like, oh, shit, I got to take responsibility and maybe something needs to change. If I admit something needs to change, then something needs to change. And ignorance, right? It's so it would just protect me from or even sounding stupid. But it became natural. It's easier. I thought I wasn't making a choice, but I was making a choice not to say anything. And not only did that make it really difficult for the people around me, it made it more difficult to myself because I was just supporting and starting to cement that behavior in whenever anything came up, whether it was work or personal or with my wife. You know, I just would resort to shutting down and stop talking. And a lot of that came from, you know, maybe some judgment in my past, but what that would look, and then I would get high just to numb those feelings even more so I could at least enjoy the quiet, because the quiet would just be so loud and shaming that getting high would just separate those thoughts. And then I was just in a perfect balance. I didn't have to deal with shit. I wasn't an enemy in my own head, but then that would all go away. And it would come back up. And just over years, I built up a lot of anger and there was fighting. And there was, when I did finally get out what I wanted to say, I say has because it still creeps up sometimes. It's a skill. I always love to use the word perishable skill, two words. It's a perishable skill that if you just let it go, it diminishes. And so what would happen is I would hold it in, I would numb, I would stay quiet, some people pleasing there just to get through. And then when I would finally hit my breaking point, it would come out with so much anger. And then guilt. And then that cycle, as kind of I was speaking on before, of, and the real message would get lost in the emotion that I was feeling from not speaking on it, and the resentment that I would build when it would finally come out, the actions behind it and the emotion behind it would become the focal point. And then that would just stuff down my needs or what I was trying to say even more. And I think just doing that over years and years, that ball of resentment. And I guess naturally blame comes from that because I wasn't taking responsibility for my own shit. And a lot of anger, a lot. And there's still times that I'm just angry because I freeze or I want to shut down. I'm not speaking my needs, all to the point where you just push people away. And slowly chipping at that mountain. And it feels, it's scary. It's fucking scary. There's a lot of fear. But after you, there's really a feeling of when you speak after not having a voice for so long, or just suppressing your own voice. I just, a lot of this was just finding my voice and speaking it. And when you speak it and somebody's like, okay, I can understand that, but, you know, elaborate. And you can elaborate. It literally would bring tears to my eyes, and I would feel like such a bitch, but I would just cry over the little things, or just be hyper emotional. And they're like, well, why are you tearing up? My wife would be like, well, why are you, you know, it's okay, but why? And I'm like, it's nice to feel heard. It's nice to feel like I can confidently speak to my shit, and not suppress that. And, you know, the three biggest things, I don't know if this is the time to go there, but through the Heroic Men's group, the three things that I've just really have opened my eyes, you know, A, were the pillars that we could jump into, but the pillars, you know, put the action into it. It put the, you know, all the stuff that I was reading, but in a physical form, a lot of it.
Can you, Andrew, for the guys listening in, because clearly I have the precise context of the pillars, can you give sort of like a context of what the pillars are, but in a practical sense, of, you know, maybe what the pillars, your pillars awareness, it's the five pillars of presence, what the pillars awareness might speak to in your heart closure, and how you're able to notice when you're in heart closure, and give some of your experiential know-how as to, well, what does that then empower you to do to come into presence? Could you give some bit of context to the guys listening in what you're talking about there?
Okay, so you put me on the spot with the pillars. So what the pillars do, in my mind, when I get into a situation, it's really nice to have, I try to just come up with little things in my head that I can go to, because you have floods of emotions, floods of, you know, possible resentment, floods of past experiences, just the routine. You start to feel like, oh shit, I'm about to go into my heart. We call it heart closure, but in my mind, before I was brought to that term heart closure, it was just like, oh fuck, here we go again. And
I think that's a much better term for guys listening in, is like the oh fuck, here we go again moment, rather than the heart closure.
Right. So that heart closure is it's a nice packaged way to say not only, oh fuck, here we go again, but oh fuck, here we go again. Remember these five pillars, and this is where you're gonna ground yourself from. Here's your, oh fuck, let's see. So there's stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. And from those, the first thing that I try to, it brings a physical presence to it. When I'm in that, oh fuck, your whole body gives in, you get warm. For me, I get warm. I start to hyperventilate a little bit, just my breathing, breaths per minute go up. I find my tongue is just stuck to the roof of my mouth for some reason, just putting my brain into fight or flight mode. Like there's a grizzly bear coming from the fucking woods about to attack me. And I'm flooded with, I need to run away. I need to either run away or I need to have the perfect answer, or what? So whatever that looks like for guys, for me, I wanted to have a drink or get high or run away or numb. Or if I didn't have access to that, just automatic defense mode. Like, this is your fault. Like, I don't want to take responsibility for this unless I really, and if I would, I would say sorry, but not really hear her or see her or allow her to be safe. It was probably just another form of numbing, of like, not in a sense of I gotta stop talking or I'm a runaway or coward, but how can I smooth this over as fast as possible? But in those five pillars, that oh fuck moment, we call it heart closure. And the first thing, and if you're in the group, we are constantly in our pillars from a presence point of view. We sit up straight, strong back. We notice our breath. We use our eyesight. We slow our breath down. Puts our body in that place of presence. Sort of send out that energy of, this is a safe space. I'm going to show up to it as calm as I can be. Because let's face it, we're not the fucking Dalai Lama, right? As you said, we feel like we are when we start reading this, you know, getting the knowledge or getting the information. But we're not. We're still inside bubbling up. And if you are bubbling up, you might want to take care of that in the bathroom before you come back. But you know what I mean? Bubbling up like lava, like fucking hot, hot fucking lava. And so we sit in a kingly posture. Be aware of our breath. We notice our eyes. I don't think a lot of us really notice our eyes, that gaze, that look, that we're looking right through our queens, like in that angry, where are our eyes? Are we looking down at the floor? Just, are we looking up? Are we looking towards the television? So noticing your eyes coming back into place with whatever your focus is on, with your kids. I mean, this shows up everywhere, but we're talking more of a husband. So when something comes up with your queen that you're looking at, or you're noticing your eyes, your shape, I spoke on before, we sit up with a strong back, shoulders down, not in an aggressive posture, not in a slouched over, like, you know, it's strong. It's, you're with her. And a lot of the times as men, you know, just jumping into how we are feeling, you know, not fixing it, not doing it, but just how we are. And that goes into, am I impatient right now? Do I have these fears? Am I just confused with the information going on? Am I way too relaxed? Am I, where am I? What is my state? And going back to, what is it? So I have stillness, sight, shape, state, and story, which is that blame, shame, and claim. Maybe coming up from your past. Maybe there is some accountability that needs to be held. But that's not a me against you automatic, let's square up in the boxing ring. This is you getting the information. And you're showing up, and that's just what it is. Mine was, I believe when I started, we did a percentage on where we were with blame and shame and claim. And mine was heavy blame, 70% blame, 29% shame, and maybe 1% claim, if that, if we weren't getting into decimals. But
it's pretty much like most guys that I've done that with, the blame, shame, claim ratio. The only difference really is in some guys are a bit more predominantly recognizing that there's more shame shame thoughts than blame, or like yourself, more blame. I definitely personally, when I started looking at this, I was like way more blame. I didn't have the capacity yet to be aware that it was all coming from shame underneath. But it's, and then there's some guys that sort of like to, it's like, oh, 20% claim. And I do often smile. I'm like, yeah, fucking, oh, right. Yeah, fucking right. There's 20% claim thoughts. If there's claim, you're taking extreme ownership. And it's like, ultimately, you know, almost technically, if there's one radically extreme ownership thought, one claim thought just cleans up the whole thing because you act from that. So it's like an acted upon claim thought, very, very few. For me, for you, for like 99.99% of guys, I'd say every single guy listening in. So yeah, that's really revealing the percentage, Andrew.
And the ones that come up for me, the biggest that have helped me is just sitting up straight. My posture, my eyes, and my breathing are the first three that I go to. And from that point, you know, settle in. And it really does, when you're among other people who do those three pretty simple things, you know, it's hard to think of in the moment, but those are tools. When you're among people who do that, there is a sense of respect and a sense of, I'm with you, I'm here, what's up? And that's just, it's nice to have at least those three for me, just to set off. You know, sit up, notice what your legs are doing. Are they crossed? No, just sit up, back straight. Take a few breaths in your head. And sometimes I'm even sitting there like, does my wife know I'm doing this? Like, do I look like I'm just like, one, sit up straight. Two, breathe. Three, eyes. And in my head, I'm thinking that. But once we make eye contact and I'm in that space, it's a game changer. And from there, I can sit into, you know, the state and the story as we talk more. And my wife, fucking surprising. I mean, it's not surprising. I'm sure you know, they eat that shit up. Once you get into how you're feeling or just like where you're at and you hear them, there's just you just start bouncing back and forth. It can get playful. Those protective patterns of, they creep up all the time. There's just something over the weekend that popped up that you know, it tests it, and I failed the test. It didn't, and we'll probably laugh about it today. We just got back from vacation, so you know, just the hustle of packing, having the kids, and we haven't been able to follow up on it, but I look forward to it. And trust me, I'll be using these pillars as strong as I can.
What a sign of growth. I know myself, like, I never liked those conversations ever. It was like, avoid them until the house is burning down. My queen brought it up. And just hearing you say as a man, it's like, oh, you know, just, first of all, you're recognizing you had something that was significant over the weekend. You know, there was a, whatever, there's a little bit of conflict, there's a little bit of stuff that just wasn't fully right, but you're aware of it and you have an intention, and not only the intention to circle back, but it's like you're looking forward to it because you now have the skill set to actually bring that balance back in. Take us a little bit deeper, Andrew, because I'm loving you brought in the practicalities of the five pillars. And by the way, I just want to, like, a big shout out to you, Andrew, like, mid-conversation here. Guys, Andrew's like just giving, you know, an impromptu tutorial on the five pillars, conscious relating, like, paradigm. This is fucking no prep. I didn't send him any notes beforehand to sort of like, oh yeah, I'd like you to speak to five pillars. So impromptu giving a perfect embodied masterclass on it. Andrew, so you said it's been a game changer. How has it changed the game? Again, on a practical basis, like, literally, you know, and you'll be aware of this, but for guys listening in, like, within the space, we continually speak to. It's like we are, every single one of you listening in, Andrew in his beautiful container of marriage, myself in the container of marriage. Whether you like it or not, you're transmitting a message that's evoking a response. This is like one basic principle just to speak. So, Andrew, since you have started, you know, projecting a message more consciously, so you're now in conversation, as you say, it's like, you know, upright posture, you're aware of your eyes, loving gaze towards your queen, you're breathing deep. You've said that that's a game changer. What's different in the response that you're evoking from your queen? How is she receiving you better? I just want to bake in the details, you know, the before, sort of like 5-6 months ago, the response that you would have been evoking from the way you were showing up to the response you're now showing up, you're now evoking from her.
So before, it was, I already kind of knew going into a conversation, it was more of who's going to back down first or who's just going to give in first. And then we walk away feeling that just empty. You may get a surge of power of like, oh yeah, I told her, she understands, she knows now, but she's over there hurting. Like, she's hurting. Nobody won. There's no winning or losing. She's just fucking hurting. I'm fucking hurting. And then the next conversation would be more about the last conversation rather than the core of what we were talking about in the first place. It was just conversations about previous conversations about something over here that happened that was handled that way. And all of a sudden, like, you kind of know. So it for me, it even supported more of shutting down, because not only was I didn't have the tools to go there with my wife in a loving way, now I already knew how it was going to end. So why the fuck go there anyway? Like, just hold it in some more. It just gave me more reason to numb and shut down, or just act like I was hearing, or just to not have it affect days, weeks. I mean, this shit could sit with me. There's probably still some things that sit with me from early on that haven't been brought to the table yet. But when it does, I will have, I can't sit here and say 100% confidence that it won't go to shit, but I have a better chance. I have, and like the thing over the shit over the weekend, like, this is all when you sit there in your posture, you just, in your eyes and the way you say it, it's like you need time to do it. Like, it's like Errol, the floor is set, it's staged. You can sit there and get in your posture and get in your eyesight. Like, it all happens really quickly. And I'm still working on that skill, because this weekend, when you're in the middle of everything, things are moving high paced, I didn't get there, and that's just what it was, but I'm working on it. But in my environment, I feel like I'm rambling on here.
You're doing absolutely brilliant. Every single thing has massive relevance for different guys listening in. Could you bring us hone in on the response that you've been evoking from your queen? Like, how is she receiving you differently now? What's showing up in horror where you're like, wow, I wasn't seeing that before. Fuck. You know, it's like, I remember with my queen, actually her listening to me. I was like, wow, she, like, now with this presence, with how I'm showing up, wow, she's listening to me completely. And fuck, she's after saying she's in agreement with me. She, what? there was like initial levels of, I was assuming that not being listened to, not being agreed with, I was assuming that arguments were part of it. I was assuming, and it was like a belief system that was driving it. What are new signs that are showing up in your queen of how she's actually receiving your truth?
It's funny how you say it, and it's a strange feeling when your wife is, she sees you, right? Isn't that, at least for me, it is. But when she's being felt and seen through those, like I said, those pillars, or like I'm there, and she knows that I'm there, and I'm not. There's an energy to it that's different. Of like we are here. There's nothing else going on beyond us having this conversation, and she definitely feels my perspective. Like she feels me understanding perspectives outside of my own. And it's actually a conversation we had not too long ago about the men's group and about just trying to get some feedback. And she's like, and when we sit together, we sit into it. And it's hard to explain because it is outside. It's an energy. It's just when we can look at each other and just say, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I see how you can, the exchange is of, man, I haven't had to put this into words like this. There is, I can speak to a piece of, by me leading in this way.
Yeah, please
do. And taking the responsibility. It also, she can admit her shortcomings or her, the way her protective patterns, and we don't necessarily speak of it as heart closure and get that descriptive, but there are times where she steps back, and in her own words, because she's a queen and she's being, you know, there's this vocabulary out there. She recognizes, you know, and starts taking ownership of some habits that she has had, you know, that we have formed through our marriage. And it allows her to take some responsibility as well. We fall into our patterns, but we, what's the word I'm looking for? I noticed that we recover from our conversations a lot quicker. It might be an hour. It might be a few minutes. It may be stepping away because it's getting too hot, but then we come back. The recovery level, it's not like it was before, days and weeks of just not talking and building that up. There hasn't been nearly as many of those. And I just remember a few weeks ago, and just having the, you know, not only am I doing this work with other men, but at the same time, they're a phone call away. And these men chat, like, we'll literally get into, okay, act like I'm your wife. How would you approach that? And get really practical. And it, and at that moment, it's uncomfortable. And you're like, I don't know. But then you start testing things out. And that's just another benefit of being in the circles and having that contact pretty much at any time, because you guys are all over the fucking world, different time zones. Could be 2 a.m. and I'll catch somebody in the middle of their lunch.
It's pure fucking bat light shit that's going down. I see it in a group. It's like just a message comes up, and you know, within 20 minutes, guys in the Telegram group is like, hey, I'm good for a call, or you know, like there's probing messages, just words of love and support. It's amazing what's happening. I'm curious, Andrew, to speak to the thing. You're speaking to the benefits of having the guys in Heroic Husbands in your group, and just that availability of it. Had you any fears or preconcepts before coming into the group? You know, about, or had you done any men's work? Were you in a circle of men before? Or what was that transition like pre-group and coming into the group?
I love fucking going there. I love going deep, and just, I've gotten to the point where I don't really It's not really my responsibility of what other people think about me. So for me personally, there have been some topics that come up that I've never spoken about. So that could be uncomfortable. But I have a friend that lives in Colorado that I've been talking to for years. We met in Montana through a therapeutic, like, boarding school. And so I've done therapy for a lot of my life, which was a lot of my own work and just, you know, therapy. You just talk about the shit. So I was pretty comfortable going there with the men, and I think that also brought some more comfort for other people to get to their truth. But when you start putting, so from the jump, I was pretty comfortable going there and exposing my shit, and it didn't take long at all for these guys to go there. Once you're in that setting and having a powerful leader like yourself just setting the stage, and it didn't take long for all of us to get to that point where we could share, just because there was just so much comfort and guys were going to places that it's like, wow, we can fucking say that. I can admit that. I can tell my truth. I don't have to feel that blame or shame, because a lot of us go through some horrifying things that we think are going to go to our grave with us. And to unpack that with it, it's a group of strangers, right? But I don't think I'm as close to anybody in my existence as I am to these 7-8 guys that I just met a few weeks ago. And they know more about me than 99% of the population. So, and once it feeds on itself, once you're around that energy, and once you say things and you're not judged and you're not, and you let those walls down, it just fucking free flow. And from that point, organizing it in your head and using that same kind of speech and vulnerability with your queen, it fucking eats that up. And then it jolts them, because they're like, who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck is this guy, and how long is he going to stay? Because I'm so used to, you know, defense Andrew or numbing Andrew, or like, how long? Like, and then there's that question of trust there too. Like, can I trust this fucking guy? Is this for real? And then if you slip, it's like, why don't you go back to your fucking men's group? It's like, well, I'm, you know, it is what it is. I'm here.
It's such a key predictor of success when you start hearing Queen saying that, having sat through like more and more guys going through their marriage transformation process, and you can hear that with the other guys, their queens. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. I fucking love this dude, this new guy. But is he here to stay? And it's really the challenge then becomes, I know within myself, it's like, there's no going back. At that point, when your queen has experienced, like, call it your higher self, your king, the fucking real you, your authentic self, the safe self, you've now established a new standard, and she knows the difference and always will know the difference of, oh, fuck, well, yeah, that's how he was, you know, for years. This is what he has done the last few months. But can it last, and can it deepen, and can I trust? Can I open and surrender my heart any further? I'm curious, like, what has come up in your mind, Andrew, in response to this? You're playing a new level. Your queen is opening up. She's trusting you more. You're able to go there. You're able to, you know, the recovery time and intense conversations are, it's like, it's less and less. So you've got her in the space that you really want as a husband and as a man. what has your mind come up with this added pressure of, okay, fuck, what, well, what now? You know, like, this is cool, but were there any doubts or concerns within yourself of, yeah, I can do it for a little bit, but, well, where do I stand long term with this? I'm curious what your inner world has been showing up for you.
Oh yeah. Like I said before, it's a perishable skill. It's something that even when you don't want to do it, you just have to. I found that having that goal, making a plan, and then seeing it through, just your disciplines, like grounding myself in a routine, or just the couple of things that center me, because it at any given time there's always work to be done. And in the group, you know, a big thing for me was speaking to the little boy in me, a little boy who I've kind of choked and just like shoved down because I'm a man now. Like, fuck that kid. Who is that little boy that just needs some love and attention? And that's really the boy that I'm putting at ease. And he shows up a lot in my life. I don't like to say that. Like, I had some, you know, mommy issues, or, you know, it just doesn't sound like what a man would do or even deal with. But there is a little boy and a lot of us husbands that just needed to be tended to. And that's the one that shows up for me and am I going to continue to push him down? But I'm starting to let him creep up more and come out more and learning how to show him that he's okay and comfort and have some compassion. Really kind of goes hand in hand with, am I going to be able to show up like this long term? And yeah, we can all put on the facade and practice something for a little while, but then it's not exciting and it's not new anymore, and it just kind of goes to the wayside and you get comfortable, and then all of a sudden you're back right back into old habits of wanting to shut down and wanting to, for me, numb, and it could go anywhere. So are there doubts? Is it easier just to crawl under my rock and get angry? Sometimes it feels like it could be. But tending, I got a little bit deeper with the groups of where this is all starting to stem from. And that little boy in me is a big deal. So as I'm working with him, I speak to it like it's a second person, but it is. He's a sad little kid sometimes, had some fucking needs that weren't met. But as you go into that deep work, it starts to build on itself in your present day, and having some more understanding not only of yourself, but how you interact with your children and how you're showing up for them, for their little boy in their future when they're men or women, little boys and little girls. And so, through doing this deep work, through having conversations with the other men, through going through experiences, there's times where it shows up.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that you're bringing in that boy that's in you and the boy that's in me, and you know, any guy is listening in, maybe the words don't vibe, of course, and that's okay too, but it's absolutely imperative to form some relationship, as Andrew is so eloquently describing there, with a part of you that historically, we talk in heroic husbands men circles all the time within the culture of protective patterns. There's protective patterns or presence patterns. Protective patterns are those patterns in your nervous system that were formed in formative years. So whether you want to give it like a name, inner child, the boy in, or maybe you're like, that just fucking sounds off for me, whatever. There's a part in you that has its links in the past, but it comes up in you present day. I'm just over communicating a little bit, Andrew. I know you're fully within the culture here, so just guys can get some context. But the importance of it, and like what Andrew's speaking to, is like, yeah, relate with him. What I say in the group and with guys one on one, and Andrew, I want to touch base with you, is like, do you vibe with this sort of part? Is what I have found in my life is, yeah, I tend to that inner child, to that, you know, 5-6 year old me, that 8 year old me, whatever period it is, that boy. But he doesn't fucking get to put his hands on the steering wheel of my present day. He, you know, my 5 year old boy, man, I still in times with my queen, when she hits me, spontaneous, sharp, you know, immediate feedback, and in that split second, and maybe for minutes, and man, it takes me sometimes get caught in a hop, like it can be 10, 20 minutes or more to get back fully, where I'm back completely out of heart closure. The challenge is like that hurting inner child, where I perceive my needs aren't being met in the moment. It's like this hurt, this rejection, this resentment, this anger that comes through old patterns, that part doesn't get to keep the hands on the steering wheel. It's like, yes, I can feel, I can hold space for that pain. Okay, 5 year old, you had lots of times when your truth when you were younger was not listened to. So now you in this moment feel that you're, you know, your queen isn't listening to you. So that's, you're experiencing a deep, deep rejection, but take your hands off the steering wheel. You don't get to project judgment on my queen today. That happened 35 years ago. So Andrew, does that metaphor make sense for you, that it's like, hey, hold space for the inner child, hold space for that part of you, the protective pathways, but they don't get to fucking put their hands on the steering wheel in your marriage, in your life, in your parenting now.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to as far as the question of how do I feel if it's going to be long lasting, like my actions or how I'm showing up to my marriage can be long term, was not only having these tools, but then understanding, you know, going deeper and dealing and comforting, or however I need to show up for that little boy that's creating, you know, going deeper into the nervous system and starting to untie some of those knots, gives me, you know, it opens me up to having the being able to do this for the long term, because I'm not just band-aiding, you know, certain behavior day in, day out. I'm going in and stitching up some shit inside that I needed to deal with, because like I said, those numbing and wanting to be distant, they came up way before I knew my wife. It's just noticing those same behaviors that I was, you know, portraying for a long time. You know, it's just going hand in hand and just being able to identify it. It was just really easy for me once I was safe enough to talk about the little boy in me without feeling like I'm going to be demasculated, if that's a word.
If it's not a word, it should be. It's a fucking it's a damn good word, Andrew.
Demasculated, or as we call it these days, just being a bitch. Like, there's just that voice, like, you're just being a bitch. Like, shut the fuck up. Just stop. Like, nobody wants to hear about this. There's nobody that wants to hear about your child needs and this little. And I just picture once that you really open that up for me, and some of the guys' perspectives of just being okay to see that little boy for who he is. But like you said, he's taking the keys to your car and going and driving it around however the fuck he wants, whenever the fuck he wants to, and slowly being in the car with him and then letting that boy sit on your lap while he steers the wheel, and then putting him in a seatbelt and making sure that he's safe, and you driving and having that conversation with him, all the way to leading that little boy. And now you guys are laughing like, huh, we remember that. Like, you're good. We're here now. I got you. And he's goes and sits down and goes and plays. And it's very visual for me, and I can see it. So it sounds like I have multi personality, but it's how I managed it in my head.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing. In I speak to it like quite a bit here, and like in the profoundly sick society that fucking by default has this knee jerk, you know, judgment reaction. It's very easy for guys listening in. Well, I really believe that guys listening in have had enough within the culture here already to get it. But like the multiple personality, we all have different voices in our head. Like, dude, I have like, I don't know how many different parts of my being comes through at different times, different points. Like, I think I'm undercutting, you know. It's like, oh, I've an inner child. It's like, I have a 1-year-old child, a 2-year-old child, a 3, 4, 5, 6. And then, oh, well, that hurt. That happened when I was fucking 8 years, 9 months old. So that's my 8 years, 9 months old version. Multiple voices, multiple aspects of my being and your being. And it's part of a maturing, open-hearted relationship where guys can take our inner world out and just in a safe space and make sense of it all. Andrew, a deep, 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 fucking massively deep. What's that part of the fucking ridge my girls tell me is like all this fascinating stuff around the planet? I'm learning more about the planet now than I from my girls. There's that crevice that goes fucking like nearly to like kilometers and kilometers deep. Deepest part of the ocean is where I want to go on my curiosity. You've spoken into the space here with us today. You've done a substantial amount of therapy, talking therapy, down the years. With having had the experience now, and it's only for a short period of time, but like you have the transformation within you and how you're showing up, communicating has been like incredible, has been like sensational to have the honor and privilege to witness. What are the key differences experientially that you have been experiencing within Jorge Cosman's men's circle, deep men's work, that's allowing your authentic truth to come true, that's allowing you to express infinitely more and show up in a way that's safer for your queen? What are the unique aspects about this approach of deep men's work that's allowing that power come true as quickly as it is?
I've done a lot of therapy. A lot of therapy. And there's no knock towards it. There's a time and a place to just sort through some things. But the difference between the men's circle is, and men's work is, at some point, once you sort through it, it's done. You don't need to sort through it anymore. You need somebody like yourself to say, I could give two fucks about that. Right. And at that moment, when your main resource of sorting through life is therapy, you're like, oh shit. I'm not just going to talk my way or just sit here and just keep talking about the how this affected this and then this affected that and how that is now aligning with your present day. As soon as another man said, well, I don't, you know, I could give two fucks about how that's affecting, like, this is where we need to go. And there was just a whole accountability, I guess, is like a real slap in the face with accountability and steps on what you're going to do. And then creating a situation with other men that can follow up with you and hold you accountable. And you can do the same. Like you're giving, and it's a give and take of power, you know, of helping somebody with holding them accountable with these men and vice versa. And that's just the big thing, is is accountability. Because if you don't, if we put ourselves in a situation to be held accountable, and you can't trust yourself, you can't tell yourself, I'm going to do this and not follow through, then if you can't trust yourself, who can trust you? And that gets brought to the table and brought to light at all times. I mean, you remember our first meeting, I was 2 minutes late and I got held to the fucking fire when there was a bro and I was allowed to join the meeting because there's two halves of it. And if you miss, if you're late to any piece of it, even 2 minutes late, you have to wait the whole hour until the halftime and you can get back in on the second segment of it. And I unfortunately missed a great deal of story and getting a backstory to, you know, a lot of the guys in the group. So I had to do, you know, it took the opportunity to talk to the guys and I had to get caught up. But man, that halftime when I came back, you talk about having to jump into a brand new group and brand new, you know, it was the first time I saw these fucking guys' faces and I'm getting grilled. And this whole, and I think even that first meeting, the word entitlement came up and I was sitting in my head, like, am I really fucking entitled? Like, I feel like I do a lot and like there is a piece of entitlement and why shouldn't I be in this group? I was only 2 minutes late. Like they can't fucking wait for me. And from that moment on, that 5, 6, 7 minutes of grilling felt like a 30 minutes of fucking fire. And that was my experience of first time men's group. And there's not, I don't know any therapist that at least I've been to that can hold me accountable like that. It's more of, oh, you didn't do that. It's all right. Well, it's probably because, you know, this, that, and the thing, a more easy approach, like giving myself a pass, would be more my experience of being held accountable in therapy, where this is like, no, you don't want to be here. Like then you don't need to fucking be here. Go find somewhere else to do your horse shit with. And that's the difference. And that's real. And it's like, it gives you, you're like, okay, these guys are really about this. I need to stay here. I want to stay here. And if I want to stay here, you can't fake it.
That's a beautiful memory of that. I remember that first call, man. I shared at the time, you know, my being present and owning what was life for me, there was an anger there. That was like, okay, this is my first meeting, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, and it's like, shit, there's a dude late. Andrew's late. But it's just falling back on the principles of men's work. It's like the code of conduct was there. And it's like, you were saying, oh, it's just 2 minutes late, you know, a little bit late. It's like, literally, guys, and this can seem suffocating. I know it was like, I would have been fucking infuriated, Andrew. If that was me, like, you know, 4.5 years ago, pre-men's work, I was like, oh, infuriated. I'm just 2 minutes late. Man, I would have went into fucking like a rampant. I don't know if I would have had the courage like you had to even show up. I probably would have like taken on a chin and went down to my wife and that fucking bunch of assholes. I probably would. I think you were like, I was impressed by your eloquence when you come on and owned it as you did. Just honestly speaking. But it's really this game. And I love the distinctions you draw between therapy and like deep men's work. And this is deep men's work at a level that it's not for every man. I've seen lots of different ways of going at men's work, and this is like exceptionally high. I want it at that level because, you know, guys listening in, you know, maybe your judgment system, like Andrew, like myself going to men's work is like, hey, it's just fucking 2 minutes, like, and that entitlement. But, you know, when I just want to give a tiny little bit of context, Andrew, to guys listening in, a little bit of an over-communication as to why. You know, when you have that perspective with your queen, oh, but I'm just 5 minutes home, you know, late from work, and oh, but you didn't call, honey. And it's like, oh yeah, and like we go to these default avoidance excuse making everywhere. Oh, but you made the commitment to your kid and you just didn't do it, or you forgot to get that thing in town, or you forgot. And we're constantly with this river of excuses, yet that has such a destructive impact on your heart connection within yourself, first and foremost, your integrity with yourself. If you're in this, you know, loop of you're making excuses all the time, and the only reason you make the excuses all the time and feel that that's okay is because, oh, I do so much. But then it just keeps going back to the loop. Well, if you do so much, then you're not having boundaries. If you're not able to do everything to the perfection of integrity, well, then you're overstretching yourself. It's all back, goes back to extreme ownership. You can't blame anybody. So I just want to give a tiny little bit of context, Andrew, because it's, I know myself 5 years ago, if I heard you saying that, I'd be like, I don't want to fucking go into that group 2 minutes. That's fucking bullshit. It's as you do one thing, you do all things. And when you do everything to a exceptionally high standard, funnily enough, your marriage, your parenting, your inner work, your inner world, your health, your energy, everything starts coming around. So thanks for going there, Andrew.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it comes up everywhere. If you can't show up on your own word and trust yourself, nobody's going to fucking trust you. You're just going to make excuses. And the only way to counteract that is to have somebody that cares enough about you and cares enough about your situation to call you out on it and lay you out and fucking tell you that you can't do that. This is why, and then follow up, not only like point it out and hold you accountable, but then care enough and love you enough to show you how to do it differently and again and explain it to you. And it's up to you to own the space. It's up to you to ask the question if you need to. If you need more, you know, clarity, like you say, you over communicate at times, and you would answer a question, and then there would be some things it's like, well, now you're just making excuses. And you just need somebody to tell you straight up. And that's the only way to counteract your own bullshit. Because I feel like with therapy and other things, you can say the right thing, or, you know, it's easy to manipulate at times. And I found myself, even with my wife, trying to manipulate situations at times. And she calls me out on my bullshit, and then I get angry. But it's more of just because she was strong enough and to say it, you know. But we're saying it all the time in men's group. We'll call it out, and then you're put on the spot, and you have to. And the cool thing is when you are put on the spot, it's super uncomfortable at times, and it's like your heart starts going like, oh no, what do I say? What do I say? But through practicing that in that group, it's fucking beautiful. It can be uncomfortable. I don't think you can get through anything. If you want to be better at something, there's going to be points of being uncomfortable, and it's a contained group. And then you get to take that courage that you've built through having that conversation in that safe space out into your habitat, into your home, and start testing little things. And that's the fucking gold. Is when you take those real uncomfortable moments that you experienced in those groups by being called out and having to explain yourself and try to find that voice. And, you know, you get text messages from guys like, hey, that was a really good share. And you get feedback from other people. And it's exhilarating. You're like, I didn't know I had that in me. And when you called me for this podcast, I was like, what the fuck? You know, sometimes I thought, what do I have to say? Or like, what do I, but you guys see it. And it was just me being myself and speaking through truth and exposing certain things. And I've noticed that time and time again, in the group of speaking when I feel uncomfortable, or you see that stop sign of like, all right, Andrew, this is, you need to shell up, like just put on your hard fucking face, act like everything's okay. And keep it moving, and you push through that, and you get the response that, you know, in the group of safety, and you take that into your kids and your wife. That's where you notice it.
I love you drawing that the importance of intensity. You know, it is intense. The structure is intense. The container is impeccably held. There's a whole structure in container, guys. Just always keeping context here. There's a exceptionally safe container for that level of intensity. But like the masculine practice in life, in relationship, is being calm, being still in the face of any intensity. So Andrew, that's a beautiful way to focus the guy's attention. Talking about intensity, and this is like completely spontaneous, Andrew. I have not mentioned, just context for guys listening in, I don't even know if this is going to make the published episode because it's spontaneous. But Andrew, do you have the words of that song that you rapped? Do you have them learned off? Would you like to share that impeccable beauty with the world?
I can do that.
Do you need to go get the words, or do you have those etched into your soul, man?
No, they're etched in.
Cool, man. If you want to meet us there, I just want to give like the tiniest bit of context to guys listening in. Andrew, as you'll have heard, guys, like bringing his truth out throughout this whole conversation. And that's it for Andrew. That's it for Mark Usher. Me going through my thing. It's like, how do I bring my truth out into the world? You know, and that's actually when you can start doing that with your nervous system, then your nervous system is safe. You're bringing your truth out. You can have the fear, but you bring it out anyway. You're in stillness, you're calm, your queen can meet you there, and then she comes with her truth, and then you're just in this upward spiral. But in that essence, one of the powerful kings, which one of the guys, just his first name, no surnames, which was one of the guys was it that challenged you to post your rap in the group?
It was Ty.
Fuck yeah.
It was Ty. Ty.
Absolute king. I wanted to bring in Ty's name just to make sure. I was pretty sure it was. Challenge Andrew, because I believe on a call, Andrew spoke or sang his rap lyrics of this tune he's going to share with us. And Ty was like, man, you got to fucking post that. That's beautiful. He posted in a group. Andrew, I was in fucking tears. It was beautiful. It was profound. It was spiritual poetry. So Andrew, the scene is set. Words like that need the biggest platform available. Man, I'm no fucking Joe Rogan at this point, but you know, the more hearts that your words can pierce, the better. So take it away, man.
All right. You're gonna do the beat for me?
I'm country style, country Ireland. You do not want me doing the beat, dude. I'd burn up your style.
We can mix it up. All right. So just a little backstory without having my voice, you know, and just start writing. I love hip hop. I love all music in general, but hip hop really kind of encapsulated, I think, at an early time, just people not having their voice and a lot of anger there and just finding an outlet for it. So I took to it, and here it goes. Highly sensitive, my emotions are like the oceans. They're deep, full of mystery, and tend to cause erosion. Even though my heart is cold at times, it's never frozen, and there are parts of me that I have seen but never spoken. This has been a test to overpower the adversity. I'm giving God my best because he's helped me through the worst in me. Cut off all the fat, my life was in need of the surgery. I made the move, sacrifice, replace the pain with certainty. I'm out here on an island and I almost feel forgotten, rotten, plotting on an option, trying to keep my mood from dropping. When the devil's knocking, trying to sell me Oxycontin, I just knock him in his top and I continue diddy bopping. A few days later, when the weather turns around, the ocean calms down, I can't even find a sound. I step on solid ground, stand up, turn around, sizing up my past, kiss my ass, fuck with me now. They have my main man locked down right as we speak. I wish he had an ocean view, but all he has is concrete. Sitting in a 4x4 and I ain't talking a Jeep. My advice is stay strong, don't conform to the weak. And to the ladies having babies, just a pocketed check. There's a misunderstanding, let me stop you a sec. You see, these kids are our future, please respect and protect. Step away from the greed and never let them forget that we are all loved by God from the start. and he dealt us different hands from the same deck of cards, wearing diamonds in the clubs, drinking spades, breaking hearts, loving money over people is what tears us apart. And sometimes on the road of life, you slip and lose traction. Get up, be aware, and figure out why it happened. Most lessons don't come easy, hard to say with a black pen. Stronger you have to be, the more you learn on the back end. I was sitting daydreaming the impossible dream. Fell asleep, woke up, then set out to achieve. Please believe without trust that you'll never be free. Imprisoned in your own head is a stressful disease. Come clean. Make amends, have respect for your mind. I forgave my enemies because it was wasting my time. Taking minutes off my life just to end up like Sean? Hell no, here's some water, need to swallow your pride. And I die inside when I see what rap has been selling. I'm looking victims in their eyes, man, and this what I tell them. Please stay strong. Like the currents in the ocean, there's no boat that you can float in. Life is nothing but emotion. Please roll on. Become the tide and the waves. Carry love into your grave. There's no need to be a slave. That's that. That's a wrap. Legit.
Whoa, man. Live on this show. Well, not live, but live with me. Going out is recording. Andrew, that's just fucking beautiful. I was in goosebumps the whole lot. Not kidding you, man. It's like just listening in and the words, just the depth. I'm just going to stop talking. It's fucking beautiful, man. Thank you so much for sharing.
Can I spit one more?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All right. Why are we looking for wrongs when everything is just so right? Let's keep it moving forward even though there's a red light. I remember days when I would wake up from long nights. I grab another oxy, get as high as the last flight. Now, I never been a quitter, but this was an exception. Sick of living life with constant hate and misconception. I also had a good girl trading drugs for her affection. Honestly, I love her, but I can't handle deception. And when the trust is gone, then out comes the aggression. And when the drugs are over, stuck alone with your depression. Surround yourself with good that can help you when you're stressing, rather than judgmentals who just stop you from progressing. The moral of the message is to help you see the blessing. You can never be a failure. There's always a lesson. Listen to the song and ask yourself a question. The people who surround you, do they face the right direction? Be true to your soul. Keep following your heart. When the ego takes control, life just falls apart. We need some motivation for the population because all the hesitation's killing younger generations. Money on the mind. Mind on the money. My man doing time, providing for a junkie. Interrogate yourself and try to find the truth. Until you do, there's nothing new. The one to blame is you. You ask yourself the question, the hard part's in the answer. Keep lying to your own, it'll spread to grow like cancer. I know it's not intentional, but let's keep it conventional. Do to others as you want done, or they'll be skeptical, impeccable. Thank you. I don't need the compliments. I just want to be a part of stopping the incompetence. This is food for thought, and I am handing out the condiments. There's only one thing stopping you from reaching your accomplishments. Of course, it's not that easy to be seen. That's all I have for that one. That was it.
Oh, man. Fuck yeah. I'm like, that's how you come into landing in a podcast episode. I'm gonna send an email out to any future guests. It's like, dude, you gotta come in with 6 or 7 minutes of power pack fucking rapping. To be worthy to follow up Andrew Grist.
We can collab. If anybody wants to collab, just hit me up.
Man, that's so beautiful. I'm laughing, but it's an absolute privilege that you would trust me, trust this platform, and trust the guys listening in that it hold. You know, it is an audience. It's not live, but it's an audience to hold space for such sacred expression, Andrew. Thank you so much. Andrew, coming into landing here, you know, there's guys listening in. I think it's radically clear from your words, your embodied wisdom, the radical vulnerability and courage that you brought to this conversation, that there is indeed something really deep to be gained by joining Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, or men's work in general. If there's guys there still just feeling inhibition, still just feeling that just needed that nudge, what words do you have to those guys that are just struggling to pull the trigger and reach out for that support? What words would you have to share with them?
This is, if guys are like me, there's just so much content out there. And a big piece of it for me was you got to be ready. You gotta want it. And if you're to the place where you don't want, you're sick of where your life is, you're sick of the cycles, you're sick of how you show up, and you just want, you can't expect just life around you to get better without taking some accountability and doing some inner work. And once you lay that foundation of like, okay, I'm ready, maybe not even necessarily ready, but you're ready for a change and you don't know what that looks like. And there's so many groups and so many podcasts and so much information out there. You just get stuck. And there is a bit of a financial investment to it. That also you're jumping in blind almost, but you feel that urge to something needs to change. And it's not just my wife, and it's not just my circumstances, and it's not this, and it's not fucking that. Once you get to the point where it's like, all right, I'm there. This is the group. I kind of took that blind faith jump in this one. Just hopefully I did it for a lot of men listening to this, did that footwork. Because I was in that place. I wanted something to change. I didn't have the tools. I didn't know where to go. Which one was right for me. But I did it. And I wouldn't go back. I took that jump. And it's, you're committed for a month. And I think within the first week, you're going to realize that this is the space for me. These are impeccable fucking men that I look up to in high regard. And I think each one of them probably in their right self looks within and says, who the fuck am I? What value do I bring? But collectively, we see that in one another, and it goes into our wives and our families and starts creating a life of itself. So if you're on the edge, if you're trying to figure out what to do next and your anxiety is kicking up because you know what you want to do and you just don't know how, this is the place for you. And if you join us, I'm sure we'll be speaking soon, and I look forward to it.
Andrew, thank you so much. And hearing your words and descriptions there and what words you offer forward, we are individually and collectively striking the right note. Just thank you for reaching deep and getting your expression for the guys listening in. Andrew, this for me personally, it's number 2 of Marriage Transformation Heroes Coming True from Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. I told you pre-recording, Sav, by no order of preference, it's just the invites had to go out. Sav got recorded there this morning at the time of recording. You're number 2. There's Ty coming on board, and there's going to be many, many other guys. But it's a really fucking sweet moment for me, personally. Been a good number of years, just envisioning how this could come about. And I always wanted the leaders of the entire movement to be the guys doing the work. A man in such a short period of time. It's fucking impeccable. It's amazing. It's inspirational to witness what you've already achieved, what you've already embodied. And boy, am I excited for you, your queen, your kids, and the 7 generations after you. You're an absolute spiritual trailblazer. Thank you for coming on, man.
Man, it starts from the top, Mark. Come on. This is, thank you. I'm grateful for you. And just, you've opened up this experience for me. I mean, I'm doing the work, but just the time and effort and thought that you have put into this group to allow us to experience and take into our families. It really starts there. So I take, I take a lot of pride in what I'm doing, but thank you for what you've provided. And having Sav and Ty on there, that's you got some kings coming up.
Andrew, thank you so much. I'm open-heartedly receiving your words there, man. Really heartfelt. Thank you, brother. Kingly Brothers, Heroic Husbands coming into landing here. One more potent marriage transforming hero in Andrew Grist. He's one, but there's many, many more doing your work within Heroic Husbands men's circles, the men's groups. There's only one opening coming up in the next 3 months. That's coming up super, super soon. So if you're on that fence, pull the trigger, get yourself in. Do not be waiting. Do not play the minimizing and normalizing waiting game of, oh, you know, maybe not now. If you're feeling it, pull the trigger now, man. You do not want to play the waiting game and be assuming that she's going to be there, being assuming that, you know, it's not as bad as you feel it is. We have this unbelievable subconscious superpower, but it's not a superpower to minimize and normalize to the point in which we don't realize how much pain she's suffering and like where our marriage truly is at. So if you're listening in, if you're feeling an urge and that this could be the right time, make it the right time. It takes 10 seconds of heroic courage to pull the trigger. It's going to be in the podcast description. Follow in Andrew's powerful, potent footsteps and Ty and Sav and many, many other guys that you're going to be listening in. And who knows, in the not too distant future, you'll be sitting in Andrew's seat, teaching the world through your embodied leadership. This has been another amazing, amazing, beautiful, heart-centered, inspirational conversation, perfectly in alignment with the mantra of our movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings. Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.